Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of It's Not My Fault the OSG Podcast is Not Popular. We are on episode 225. My name is Helen.
My name is Justin.
Justin, it's hot. It's hot again. Whee! My air conditioning is going in the background, like, permanently. Why does this keep happening?
It was nice. You had that nice, pretty chill. Well, not chill, but, like, perfect balance of hot and cold. It wasn't too hot or anything like that, so it was great. But then this past week, I want to say, just the heat, it really
the weather
up.
was so nice for Otakon. Apparently it was like the coolest start to August in 60 years, so it was like highs in the mid-80s. Humidity and dew point were pretty low for here in the summer. It was fantastic, although the mosquitoes were out for blood, let me tell you. Otakon seems to be bringing back the Thursday Matsuri. I don't want to say for good, but this is the second year they've done it, so it seems like we're going to keep that going forward. And I was out at one part of it, and after a little while, I was like, hang on, I think I need to start moving, because I can feel the bugs coming to my legs. It's like, I need to stop standing in one place. So it was a good con, though.
It sounded like a good con. The weather was perfect, or about as best you could have in your circumstances, because I think the last time we talked, you was already dreading it being, like, really stupid hot.
Yeah, because it's been really stupid hot this summer. And, oh yeah, you're not on Blue Sky, so you haven't seen all my posts about the panels I went to. Like, the dramatic readings of Stu Levy's bad poetry for Princess Ai. Or, arbitrarily ranking giant ugly robots. Or, Caitlin of Antithem's 18-plus panel about all of the phallic and dick imagery in Outlaw Star. With panel slides titled things like Sigmund Freud's one-stop dick and incest shop. You've been missing out!
I guess. But I don't really even Twitter that often either, so I mean, I don't know how to tell you.
Yeah, so Otakon was good, because the best part, you know, they say the journey is about the friends we make along the way. Cons are definitely about the friends you make along the way. I just wish I could see even more of you, because Justin, I don't think the two of us have seen each other in person since Anime NYC 2022. I think that was the last time we saw each other.
Yeah, this isn't really 3 years. That was 2023 for some reason.
I think it was 22, but I could be wrong.
It was one of those years, but yeah, it has definitely been some time. I have always thought about going back to Otakon at some point. It just, you know, never worked out. It's definitely not working out this year.
Curse this stupidly large country and transportation costs.
Yeah. But one of these days it'll happen. Or randomly we'll just go to this one random convention somewhere that's not in any of our states for some reason. I don't know why we do it, but we do it anyway.
We'll meet in the middle in Pennsylvania, but we'll have to do something near an airport since you can't drive.
Look, is there's transportation, we'll just figure something out. I don't know, I just like, hey, if it's a bus or a train, I'll work it out. Too used to like MTA over here.
Yeah, the MTA, which may or may not be running for you for Anime NYC this upcoming weekend.
Oh yeah, I'm already looking
forward to it. As usual, my biggest question is, Justin, is the 7 running? I am emotionally invested in this. And the answer is TBD.
The only thing I can certainly guarantee, I'll be stunned if out of nowhere the 7 is not running on a Thursday. It'd be one thing if it was the weekend, like Friday, Saturday. I mean, that's one other thing, but it can't be Thursday. It's actually still people working. There's no way. So I'm pretty confident that our 7 is running on Thursday. The weekend, however, to be dated. To be announced, to be dated, whatever. I don't know.
I'm so glad that the Metro has gone through the worst of its times, where now, some things are going to be shut down for a little while, but it's not as bad as it used to be. Just far fewer things catching on fire. Thank God.
But yes, I'll be somewhere floating around MAA City. I'm not even sure I'm going to go Thursday. Looks like it's not going to be...
I mean, the only thing they really do is, like, the manga awards in the evening, right? Sounds like they don't even do that much programming on Thursday.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like... I didn't look at the program today yet, but I think you let me know about one industry thing happening on Thursday. But I haven't looked at the schedule just yet. But one other thing is that they will have, like... artist alley and stuff open, so you could like buy stuff early, I guess, and get your stuff solved.
Justin can start searching through all that, since It's big, and B, then you'll be free to like run off to all the industry panels.
Yeah, I have to make sure. I'm already looking forward to the mini conflicts that's gonna happen at some point. So yeah, probably running around. Might be a little quieter affair in terms of like interviews and stuff like that, but I'll see. But yeah, once again, if Emmy series is going, I'll just try to go if I can. So it's gonna happen. But all right, Helen. You had your fun at Otakon. I will soon have my fun at New York City. Before we get into, well, stuff more about that, because we know we had announcements, especially Otakon. What else you been up
There was
to over the
definitely one set of
past
announcements where
few
I
weeks
just
or
like
so?
forwarded Justin some photos. There were definitely some announcements from Otakon where I just forwarded Justin the photos I'd taken the panel, and I was like, here's your update.
Yeah, I just here, take it. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever.
But yeah, other than that, as I tried to keep up with all the shows I'm watching this season, I did add My Dress Up Darling into the rotation. And I see what you were talking about now with
The visuals, right? The visuals, right?
yeah, CloverWorks is definitely going all in on it. Like, I already knew about like the random puppet interlude they have at one point. I guess just because they could. Since we're halfway through the season now and nothing has started melting yet, I think we're good. I don't think we're gonna have a production meltdown. I think we'd already be seeing signs of it, but yeah, it feels like they're just really flexing. And they're like, oh yeah, let's have fun.
Yeah, like
And
it's
it does work well with the story.
you have to get used to it, because just like you go to season one and season two, it's been a while, but you still think about how season one was like shown visually, but then you go to season two and it's just like it's more playful. And I'm not saying season one wasn't playful at all either, but it's something about season two, it just lends itself to more CloverWorks just really flexing, honestly.
But yeah, it's been basically just that, and I wasn't playing much Genshin recently just because I was trying to finish stuff for Otakon, but that means that over the past week I've had to just blitz through the latest event in like a week before it expires, like at 4 a.m. tonight. I just finally finished everything earlier today. It's like, okay, I've gotten through all the event exclusive but important character stories. I've gotten all my rewards, finally. There was just one fucking mini game that was plot critical that I had to attempt like seven goddamn times before I was able to get through it. After four times one night, I just almost rage quit, and I was like, I'm playing different parts of the game right now. Screw this.
Well, while you
So Justin, do you now know the reason why the creators of the Summer Hikaru died? Cooked chicken.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? Feels good.
Oh,
No, the answer is just, I don't think raw chicken would ever feel like good unless you got your gloves on, you're about to cook it and fry it, which of course you know, as you talked about last episode of the podcast, the staff ended up cooking the raw chicken that they had. Because, well, why would
But
you want to waste
I
it?
know we talked last time. You were trying to figure out why they needed raw chicken in the first place, and I said you're probably on the right track, but you probably have not figured out the reason why. Was I correct?
Well, I kind of figured it was something definitely disturbing. And I was technically right, and I'll get to that really soon because I watched the first episodes of The Summer Hikaru Died Today. Obviously, it was one of the more hyped and stood out shows that stood out in terms of. Oh yeah, I gotta check this out during this season, this really packed season. Obviously, the manga has been pretty much praised, and Yen Press has been releasing that. And it's another series I wanted to read the manga wise, but I only got far as like the free preview eons ago. But obviously, so the first two episodes of the anime is my introduction.
It's also one of the shows that had some of the staff at Otakon, including
No.
one the voice actor for one of the boys, and the other one recorded a video. I just don't remember who was
The
who because I did not
Hikaru,
go to that panel.
or okay.
Yeah, I just don't remember which voice actor it was because I didn't go to those panels because my schedule is packed.
Makes sense. That makes sense. But yes, you would argue the premise isn't like original in the sense that quiet area, quiet village, all that stuff where, okay, yeah, there's something going on around here and everything. That's a little disturbing. Well, in this case, we kind of get the spoiler really quickly. Hikaru is...
It's like in the first few pages.
Yeah, it's literally our first few pages. And in the first, really, episode, like the first minute or two, you already see Hikaru's dead. You see it in the mountains. But he's not dead. He is still kicking, alive. But... And then I do like how they have the time skip. Like, so this happened in January 2020. 6 months later, it's July. So everything's all hokey-dory. Everybody knows.
Listen, 2020 was just a strange year for us all, you know?
But yeah, everything's going great. But Yoshiki knows better. He's like, okay, you're not Hikaru, are you? But I thought I pulled everything off well. As Hikaru just reveals his monster form and just looks really disturbing. And then eventually threatens poor Yoshiki. He said, yeah, don't do this. Don't reveal this to anybody or else I have to kill you. Yes, that definitely is going to endure him to you for sure. 100%. But so basically the whole story is about Yoshiki knowing all this, but realizing that if he lets this go, and Hikaru's going to be gone forever. And he really liked Hikaru. Now where he can like this particular version of Hikaru, TBD. the first few episodes kind of reveal something's going up, especially now with his presence invading the village. There's also other people in the village that are directly involved. We have somebody called Nonuki-sama. Not sure what Nonuki is. It's not been really expressed. I can only assume it's like those sort of like deity spirit.
It's bad news. Whatever it is, it's bad news.
It's probably bad news for sure. So you have that. You didn't have a particular like business that has people employed to take care of particular spirits, and that person's always showed up and said, "Oh yeah, it's a lot worse than I thought." Whoops. So I already got one person who's gone. The death sounded pretty bad. Just like hearing, "Oh man, that's pretty bad." You have the kids. You have some students in the school. Oh yeah, it's just going through the forest. Oh, it's so dark, and there's actually nothing happening. Why was I so scared? But no, there's actually something out there.
Because whatever's out there is scared of Hikaru. That's my theory. Mm-hmm. After reading only the first volume of the manga, so
that's my take. That's about my take
equal.
Too.
I'm about equal to where you are.
I think at this point, Hikaru is just controlling everything, and then it just nobody's really prepared for what Hikaru could do. The only one who's really like can do something about it is Yoshiki, but Yoshiki has his own problems just in general, because whether it's obviously dealing with a monster, but then also dealing with his family issues. His sister, little sister, doesn't want to go to school for whatever reason. I'm gonna assume that's gonna get explored more often. Obviously the parents are concerned about that, and they're even talking about that, so all that's just stressing this guy out, and I'm not sure how he can handle all that. So you have intrigue from the story side, you have intrigue from the visual side, and not just like how everything looks, just how things are directed. Obviously we got the, I guess, spoiler for this section where, oh yeah, what was the context of raw chicken? Well, you know how you go to a gym and then you just want to have good times good times in the gym closet, and no, you don't want the teachers and parents or students to see.
What are you guys doing in the gym? What do you guys do in all boys high schools, Justin?
I don't know. That's what I'm just going with.
You went to an all boys high school. That's why I'm asking. No, I only went to the co-ed high school.
It wasn't that. That's for sure. I didn't do any of that.
We didn't do this in co-ed high schools either. Let me tell you.
I'm assuming maybe some high schools did this. We're just going to.
Listen, at Catholic co-ed high schools, you don't want to admit you're in a closet.
But yeah, that's what Yoshiki and Hikaru was, where they decided to, oh yeah, you know what I did with that little thing, or that thing that tried to attack you? It's in me. Feel me. Yes, he really put his hand in there and really felt up that raw chicken. Really felt that up. And Hikaru said,
and if anyone's wondering, is this supposed to be sexual? The answer is not exactly, but also yes.
It's 100% doing for that, both angles for sure. But it's like the mind is telling yes, it's going for sexual, but then the other side is, yeah, this is also really disturbing at the same time.
This is going to kill me. Oh, God, no.
So I think it nails the atmospheric tone. Just, I guess, the oppression. Like, just things just so oppressive in this particular area, in this particular village. And you're just wondering, how can everybody resolve this, really? So I'm really looking forward to the characters that get introduced. And I'm unfortunately, who's going to be dying, because either
it is... We know how these things go.
Either it is just Sakaro himself causing all this, or is it actually something else? At this point, I think it is just Sakaro. According to Hikaru, he doesn't know how he got into his body, the original Hikaru's body. So whether it is actually another thing in that particular village that's causing this or not, and whether Hikaru could just be like that one side, that other monster or whatever, that's just a thing, or not a thing, but part of everything, who knows, but I'm interested, I'm invested, can't wait to watch more of that. So yeah, I didn't intend to spend that long on it, but Hikaru died does for lots of things to talk about, so I definitely want to recommend that for sure. I guess I'm gonna go to the next thing. That's definitely not the same in many ways. Let's go karaoke. Yeah, definitely not the same compared to.
I mean, we did a recent Manga in Your Ears episode that was Let's Go Karaoke and The Summer Hikaru Died, because we were like, it's gay, we're pairing them together.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely romantic attraction between a really young boy and the one guy who's in the Yakuza. Yay.
I mean, he's not super young. He's in, like, the ninth grade or so.
Ooh. But obviously, I think that's the age. There's definitely some sort of age gap there, right? I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But obviously, at this point, it's just...
I mean, the Yakuza guy is definitely older, but there's... nothing inherently sexual around him. Right. You just get the feeling that the ninth grader is in the closet.
Right. You get the whole sense that it's, at this stage, it's just like either teasing or, as you said, that younger guy's just like, yeah, I'm not going to say anything just yet. But yes, the basic premise, high schooler is in the choir, and obviously he can sing pretty good, and for some bizarre reason, some guy from the Yakuza wants him to teach him how to sing, and how do you do that? How do you get better? Go to karaoke. What? Okay.
And and the kid is already having like some feelings about how he's getting older, so his voice is changing. And I remember when we were doing this on the podcast, April and I were both like, I'm so glad that's not something we really had to deal with puberty. We didn't have to deal with like the whole voice cracking thing. Yeah. And like guys often do. It was like, thank God, that was one less thing to worry about.
Right. And it kind of keeps coming to a head, especially in the second episode. He starts getting like nightmares, particularly about like, oh no, it's my voice changing everything, especially in public, everybody singing and everything, and now I got that one guy's coming back up who not to take over. Had like little nightmares about that. They also had a nightmare about the Yakuza, because he ends up meeting more Yakuza people. That's what happens, you decide you wanna. Well, he didn't really decide. He essentially was essentially forced a little bit to help a little bit. So he gets nightmares about that. But something is working narratively, where I'm just curious about how things are gonna go, and I don't think this is gonna be like a long series. I think this is either gonna be 5 episodes or 6, something like that. It's not very long.
You mean it's not a long series?
Oh, I said that, sorry. But yeah, it's gonna be pretty short. I should say it's gonna be a pretty short series. I think that's more clear. I think it's like 5 or 6. So yeah, I think so far it's pretty good. Visually, it doesn't look too bad either. I think it presents itself exactly how it wants it to be, so it looks good. I think the characters do stand out. So yeah, I'm having a pretty good time with that. Looking forward to watching. I'll see if I'll try to catch up to either tonight or tomorrow, because not again 2 more episodes of that. Then I got Mikadono Sisters. Yes, the famous dealing with the Mikado's sisters of Breeze, which we all famously know is on Viz, which was from the Imaki translations that we all know is Aya's sister. Whee! But it doesn't look like that's for the anime. I think, I could be wrong about this, but, I want to say Aniplex was handling this, I think. I could be wrong about that. Aniplex has their hands on a lot of things, but yeah, the basic premise is... really, what this one kid is born from a really like talented mother. She's just so proud. She's famous, prodigy. Everybody knows who she is. The son, her, is very mediocre. Just not at all talented. Can't do anything right. And in the very first like few minutes of the first episode, he is trying to fight in like karate, and he's just getting his butt kicked. Like the kid has some sort of talent. He has no talent whatsoever. And he tries to explain this. No, I don't have any of this talent. No, I already know my limits and everything. Nobody believes him. That's why he's getting beat up. And then the three royals, aka the Mikado's sisters, shows up. They end up kind of stopping it, but then once they get more information, they realize, yeah, why are you in this school? Get out of here. But what ends up happening is the Mikado's father, he ends up taking him in. Obviously because of the fact that he lost his mom and now he's on his own. So it's like, okay, that's it. You're going to be with us now. But the Mikado's sisters are not aware of this. They had no clue. And now they're forced to deal with it somehow, some way that this boy is in their house. How can they deal with this when he's not talented at all? Well, if he cleans and then vaguely understands his place, aka he knows his limits and everything, but also occasionally shows that charm that makes him attractive and something that you actually get behind, maybe it could work out. So yes, once again, another PA Works title that is interesting, because I've been on this weird PA Works kick where I guess gotta check out at least one of their works a season all of a sudden. And now this is another one I've added to my catalog, where the first episodes, it did get me humorous wise, because you got the Mikado sisters, they're just so standoffish and everything, but then just that one precise, okay, you don't want to eat my food, I will precisely have every calorie, the exact amount of veggies, etc., etc., right for all of you, and you will eat it, you will enjoy it. So just seeing how they eventually just essentially crack under the pressure is somehow funny in this matter. As you try so hard to just try to integrate yourself with the family somehow do it. So have a good time with that. And then the final show that I was able to catch up to in the summer is Gacha Oop, Jatakuta. It's time to watch an anime about trash, Helen. That is really all Gachikuta is all about. It is literally trash. I think that's even like the English literally meaning is just trash. It's pretty simple in the fact that you have the, obviously the rich, bourgeoisie, high class, all that stuff, area versus the slums, the poor, all that stuff. Very simple enough. And it also brings up to the mind of one man's trash is another person's treasure, all that saying with Rudo. He's just diving for trash, just looking for stuff that people in the high class are just throwing away that could still be useful, but they obviously just think that, oh yeah, it's just ripped, that one little thing, don't need anymore, just get a newer version. Meanwhile, Rudo's just like, okay, I'll just take it and fix it up, and then bam, it's useful. But many problems arise with that. Obviously, the fact that he's notable for doing all this trash diving. He is the son of a criminal who apparently murdered people and was thrown into the pit eons ago. But it's not like Rudo knew those years. He didn't even get to know him that well. Rudo at the moment has been with somebody who's adopted. Like I said, she is the adopted father. So he's obviously managed to survive long enough, and things have been obviously harsh and tough for him, but he's had little victories here and there until, unfortunately, his adoptive father gets killed. And for Rudo, he ends up getting framed for the murder, and with no allies at his side, he gets thrown to the pit. So that's it. No more show. That's over. And wait, he's still alive? As it turns out, there's actually another world inside the pit. So that leads to more questions. More questions. And we still have no answers for it. And I guess the big main thing for Rudo is obviously he wants to get vengeance, not only on the people who abandoned him, but also the person who killed his adopted father. Again, it's just really early stages, so he's at the moment where he started meeting the crew in the pit. I read the manga this, I want to say last year, maybe earlier this year, but I think last year. Because it was on obviously K manga and everything, and I liked what I was reading. I haven't gone to reading more of it, but I basically, with what I read of it, it was pretty good. And the anime, I think, is doing a really good job, especially visual wise, because you got to get nail a particular aesthetic, because it's obviously displaying like, okay, you obviously want your anime to look good, but you also want to keep it in context of what the series is all about. And literally, this guy is in trash this whole time. Like, you can't beautify trash. You just can't do it. There's only so many ways you can show his aesthetic. So, I think Bones and the staff have found a good tone so far from just the first few episodes. So I'm looking forward to how things are going to change as, I guess, his rules will expand, and also as he learns more of his powers. Because he can essentially take certain things and turn it into essentially like weapons in a sense, so like actually hurt things. So yeah, so far so good. Got bored after watch, and I'm so pleased that some of my picks so far this season have not been really terrible, except for that one show. But I'm not gonna get into that anymore. All right, we talked enough, I think, about what we've been up to. Let's get on to the news. We got some news to go over, unfortunately, this week.
Yeah, so this first one was a little odd as people were just trying to figure out what was going on. Ascendant Animation had to issue a statement about voice actor Kiba Walker, who also goes by Sailor Moon in some drag and LGBTQ circles, since allegations were made against him on July 30th for sending sexually suggestive messages to minors. Ascendant Animation claimed that it, quote, has had no affiliation with Walker personally or professionally and hasn't had any contact with them since January of 2022. So,
yeah.
I guess he was heavily involved with Ascendant first.
Hold up. Anna was referred to as they, them. So I was just like, okay, I'll make sure to. I thought I put that in there. That's my bad. But otherwise, yeah, this one's weird. Because obviously it started with two. I didn't want to, like. Anna has like the full details of what happened, but it's pretty nifty and obviously disturbing for certain people. So the short of it is Kiba was accused by two voice actors of grooming and sending sexually suggestive messages because they were both in their teens, or he felt Kiba was an adult. So he had that happen. Kiba has been radio silent since then. And since then, so many organizations vaguely at one point just said that they didn't allude to the who they let go, but then we kind of figured due to the timing. I think one organization, I thought I wrote it in here. I thought I had one gaming organization that they listed Kiba's name in their statement that said that they're not working with them anymore. So, but yeah, there are places that will cut ties because of this. Crunchyroll has yet to mention anything yet. We obviously most might know him, but more of them as he was Tsubakino and Windbreaker, but right now Kiba's currently voicing Maynard in Cleavitus, so is Kiba still voicing that? Coming unlikely, because just to give you an example of how big this is, in Fire Emblem Heroes, Kiba was voicing one of the characters, and that character got cut. Like, they already went back to the Japanese voice for Dude, so it's serious. So, you have that, then Ascendant Animation again took the statement and shared everything that happened, and that also included learning that Kiba sent many press releases that stated that they were president of Ascend Animation, which turned out to not be true. And
that's why they were having to make the statements.
Yeah, they had to make statements because of that, and then they were saying, like, because of, obviously, fear of retribution and everything, they couldn't really say anything, although they had quietly not been interacting with Kiba for a while. I do feel like this opens up to more questions. It's just like, what was Ascend Animation? What were their status, and whether they could have helped if they could. It's just obviously, if they're into a studio and not much power, then what can they really do? But it still just leads to more questions about how they could have handled things better. But yeah, just very, not only just like, obviously just disturbing news, but also unfortunate news. It's just not really what you want to hear. But obviously you just hope that the two voice actors, they were obviously courageous to share the story. Just hope that they're able to continue to get better and try to move forward as well as they can. We're going to obviously get more information as in the coming months for sure, so we'll be definitely on the lookout for that. So, gonna somehow transition over to, I guess, normal news, although this is going to be kind of weird too. Again, we don't really get too many cancellations that happen, but we somehow got another one. The official website for the television anime of Sigma to Rise, Sono Ketsatsuken to Kidoki Yaju, which is based off the dub manga, announced that the anime production has been canceled due to various circumstances. So it was slated for this year, but it's not happening. There are many reasons why an anime could be canceled. According to the anime forums, the creator Torai had announced that the manga is going to resume serialization under a new publisher. So it's possible there was a transition between publishers that may have impacted anime production and whether or not they could actually air the anime. Essentially, I think this is part of like the Rabbit Gate lines.
Rabbit Gate?
I think that's, what was it again? Checking again.
Which one is this? There's too many controversies out there these days.
Okay, comic. Yeah, Anime Fest. Sorry. I think I saw something out at the forums, but I'm not going to go in the forums anymore. The point is, I think maybe because of, maybe possibly because of publisher things, this anime was probably not going to be on any Comic Fest service, so that meant that, well, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this production? And if we can't find anything else, just going to air it. Yeah, it's going to be issues. But we don't know. We're just speculating. It could literally be like, okay, we actually could not animate well enough. And we just had other things that's caught up, taking up our attention, so too bad. But yeah, it's just, again, rare that we actually get, like, anime being, like, canceled just like that, even something like this. So, unfortunate, because I guess there are people that would have looked forward to watching it.
Okay, so, not precisely weird news, but somewhat ironic news. Crunchyroll has announced that it has... laying off for people so that they can optimize for growth, which is not how I thought you did things normally, getting fewer people so you can grow more, but okay. Its job cuts are going to be occurring across Crunchyroll's 13 offices in 9 countries, so North America, Europe, and Asia. Well, in North America, Europe, and Asia. And as part of the reorganization, they're building engineering hubs in the US, Mexico, and India. ANN's executive editor, Lindsay Loveridge, did note that, for some time now at least, Crunchyroll's engineering team has been based in Moldova, so maybe they're moving them because Russia's attacks on Ukraine are not stopping anytime soon. She was also looking at the people who were laid off and said that a lot of them seem to be project managers who have been around for a while as well, so that's, you know, it's not like it doesn't seem like they were just doing a, last in, first fired sort of deal. I know that Miles, formerly of Crunchyroll, had a tweet about how it's weird that they're doing all this, but they've got all these open listings, and then he deleted the tweet later in the day. I don't know if he realized he was wrong, or if he realized that he's going to be pissing off former friends.
Yeah, I got either or. Don't know, but yeah, I saw it. And yeah, who knows?
Yeah, since Miles is sometimes a little too conciliatory towards other people in the industry, but what do you expect from somebody who started on the industry side more than anything else? Anyway, the reason this gets even more ironic is that the day after, Crunchyroll announced that Channing Tatum is going to be in the English dub for the first Demon Slayer Infinity Castle movie. Dub production is being handled entirely by Aniplex. I don't know if they said what character he's doing.
Yeah,
if they
Keizo,
did,
Keizo.
I did not pay...
Keizo.
Okay.
But it's like
clearly they said this, and I simply did not pay attention to it, because... I'm not watching the dub. I haven't watched Demon Slayer in a while, but also it's just like,
well,
you didn't cut all these people just to afford Channing Tatum, right? Like, I can't imagine that's it, but man, the optics.
No, and it's like a minor character that pops up during the Infinity Castle series, so he's not in the this character isn't in the anime yet. You probably know him in the manga, but we'll soon see who he is.
I mean, I read.
Yeah.
I read the manga at that very short period where, like, Viz finally had everything online, like, yeah. right around when it was ending. So this was several years ago for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Demon Slayer manga is preferable to the anime because it does not spend time dicking around with unnecessarily long animation sequences and everything. I highly recommend the manga over the anime at this point.
But yeah, just that if you know how it was funny to see people obviously attack Crunchyroll because Crunchyroll just leaves themselves way open to all this when they how they've handled everything in the past couple years. But I had to unfortunately laugh when people were criticizing Crunchyroll about this when I'm like, since Demon Slayer first came out, Aniplex has handled the entire dubbing process. So it's funny that they're not getting attacked for this. It's Crunchyroll because they're distributing it.
I mean, Crunchyroll was the one making the announcement, I think.
No, they made the tweet and they're probably happy to do it, but it's nothing new for them. They're always making, obviously, tweets about, oh yeah, this is a dub that's happening from either us or our partners. Here you go. And yeah, Channing Tatum. Obviously, they're going to be really excited about it. So obviously, again, it's fine. It's just that I couldn't help but laugh because obviously it wasn't Crunchyroll's decision to do it. It was Aniplex, Bang Zoom, who's been handling the dubbing process. I'm not sure how it worked out, but it's very, very curious how it worked out. It'll be interesting to see if Channing Tatum actually says anything about it. Obviously, the movie, I think, is having early screenings in places in August. It's going to be really premiering in September. But yeah, that was fun. That's fun. Alright. Got a couple passing away, people who passed away in the past few weeks. Going to kind of run through some of these really quick. Voice actor Bill Flynn, also known as William Flynn, had died July 4th, 86. He was the voice of Dr. Agasa in Funimation's edition of Case Closed, so that's kind of how I knew him. He played a couple minor, from my understanding, minor characters in Genzo in One Piece, Captain Rebel in Gunslinger Girl, were in Attack on Titan, just to name a few. We had the Saint Seiya singer Noboru Yamada, who passed away, unfortunately, at 61. He had a long battle with kidney cancer. This was announced, I think, believe, like February, about him having to announce this, and then he had to step down from doing a tour earlier in the year. Unfortunately, couldn't make it. Passed away August 9th. He was formerly the lead vocalist of the band Makeup, which was one of the first opening theme song, Pegasus Fantasy, and the ending song Blue Forever for the original Saint Seiya anime. And he also composed the theme song and wrote the lyrics. So obviously for Saint Seiya fans, they probably know who he is, and obviously this is a difficult loss for them for sure. And then and final unfortunate passing, especially due to cancer, the official X Twitter account for voice actor Tomo Sakurai announced that she died on August 13th after a battle with multiple organ cancer at 53 years old. Way too young. So it was just like last week, August 10th, she had canceled her Tomo Natsu 2025 live concert that had been planned for August 17th. She had been urgently hospitalized on August 4th for a medical inspection because she had been undergoing treatment for cancer. So I think obviously things were hoping to get better, but they had unfortunately revealed that things got worse and she couldn't make it. So obviously she's known for singing and everything. She has also voiced, she had voices in anime. She voiced characters like Mylene Flair Genius in the various Macross 7 anime series, Marcel Makamichi and Roy Kenshin, Shiloh Shiloh and El Hazard, The Magnificent World, and Mamie, Hanooka, and Saint Tail, just to name a few characters she's voiced over the past many years in the anime world. And again, just a really difficult thing to hear. 53 is just really, just really young, honestly. Still more to do, so
yeah,
just really tough to hear. My sincere condolences to her family and friends for sure.
Yeah, and some people were posting remembrances on Blue Sky. She'd been a guest over at ASEN in 2024, and one person was saying, yeah, I was cosplaying Basara the whole weekend, and she just bounced up to me, you know, using the Mylene's voice going, "Hi, Basara," and then just walked off again. And it sounds like she was just a very fun guest to have. Apparently she did that voice when she was 16, too, but just... God, yeah, 53 is way too young. And multiple organ failure from cancer sounds like whatever it was aggressive and metastasized, so... Fuck cancer.
Yeah.
Alright, so we're gonna move on to announcements now. Justin and I are both pretty sure that Yen Press is going to have more announcements at Anime NYC, but they decided to put out some of them early. Justin was simply happy that they did not do this, like, the Wednesday or Thursday before Anime NYC.
100%.
Yeah. So, Yen Press announced online that they have licensed Kei Ichikawa's A Long and Short Love Story, Doman's, Saiyaman's, Dungeons at Shirley Slaughter Adventures, Yuzu Tsubaki and Waka, Katsubuta's Keiaki Shopping District Sakura Bathhouse, Ayumi Hirose's Mad Miniscape, Itokira's The Idol's Escape, Jiro Sugiura and Umemaru's The Fake Alchemist, Saka and Ken Amirara's Once Upon a Witch's Death. This is the manga, since they've already been publishing the light novel. Funky enough, Kadokawa was releasing this one in chapters, but now it's going over to Yen Press for the full volume releases. Norito Asazuki's Demi-Human Share House, Kumo Kaguya and Noboru Kanatsuki's Moscow 2160, which is going to be on the Yenon imprint, which tells us it is a light novel. And finally, they're also bringing over the Oshinoko TV anime first season guidebook, First Report. Which they don't usually bring over stuff like that, but
Oshinoko's just a big enough property for them.
Yeah, I know that they've done some similar things of a couple of Delicious and Dungeon things, I like say guides also, and such, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure they did something for Fruits Basket, too.
Maybe. I know Tokyo popped in the day, but I don't remember if Yen did.
I think they did. I'm pretty confident they did something for Fruits Basket. I think you, personally, with the Discotheque... Well, actually, did you go to Discotheque panel?
Nope, I did not, because there was so much going on at Otakon, and I believe when Discotheque was running their panel, I believe that was when I'd gone back to the hotel room and just, like, torn off my wig and my cosplay and started shrieking.
Alright, but then fine.
I discovered that my contacts are fine for driving and fine for photo shoots, but if I'm trying to look at anything close up, they are not cutting it these days. And so I was getting increasingly overstimulated from that. Face mask, wig pulling more than I expected, the heat of thousands of bodies in the Otakon Artist Alley, so... I mean, I knew everyone was going to cover the Discotheque announcements anyway. Oh, and this is also one of the years where they've stuck it in the small room.
No! Like,
Otakon seems to alternate between putting them in, like, one of the bigger panel rooms, like panel room one, and then, like, the other years they put them in one of the smaller rooms, like usually panel room three. It's like, why? Why do you keep doing this? Like, I know you had Anime Ego, Discotheque, and Azuki all back-to-back-to-back. And Azuki, for sure, and Anime Ego as well aren't going to be drawing as big crowds, but come on, guys.
Dang, that's tough. That's tough. But yes, Discotheque had a smorgasbord of announcements. Did not list all the live-action stuff. If it's not GTO...
They're still claiming they're not a porn company, however.
However, one of their titles that they're bringing over is Urusuki Doji, Tickles of Urethane, SD, this could be standard definition Blu-ray disc release. It's a collection, so it's like five works, a combination of movie and OVAs. So yes, they advertised it up, putting out hentai, but what we got, you bring over Kai, you brought over the other version of Urusuki Doji, now we get more Urusuki Doji. You're definitely a hentai company. Don't be trying to lie to us. Don't do it. Nobody's going to believe you. they announced they're going to release the first 78 episodes of the Shin Chan anime on two standard definition, standard to Blu-ray disc, SD, BD releases. They're going to bring more Higurashi anime series. So they're going to have When They Cry Kai and When They Cry Rei. Gonna bring over the first five Sergeant Frog anime films. It's gonna be, I believe, in one collection. They're gonna release Zone of the Enders, Idolo OVA, and the Zone of the Enders, Dolores Eye. They're gonna release three versions of Zegapain, television anime series, Zegapain ADP compilation film, and the 2024 Zegapain STA anime film. Three more Digimon films, Revenge of Daiboromon, Digimon Tamers, The Avengers Battle, and Digimon Tamers Movie 6, The Runaway Digimon Express. Major congrats to all the Digimon fans who are patient enough to wait all these years. I don't think any of these were released in any fashion, because you obviously had like the other films that got like various releases here and there, but nothing as beautiful as I assume Discotheque's version is going to be. That is for sure. Not too much of that. I kind of lost interest in Digimon, so I was like, oh, it's a nice announcement, but it's not really for me. But Monster getting announced for HD release, now that gotta be hype. So yes, it's finally getting an HD release next year, so definitely looking forward to getting that on actual physical media, because if it randomly gets taken off of Netflix, then we'll be lost forever with no Monster. Gonna release Shin Aso Nurei. So yes, more Aim of the Ace part of that. Ooh, got the lightning and thunder coming down. Hope nothing is going to my apartment right now. We got the new Blu-ray disc steelbook release of Lupin the Third, the Castle of Cagliostro. It's gonna have a new English dub. This is gonna be a Crunchyroll store exclusive. They're gonna release the Golden Boy OVA, so another one that's gonna be nice. People who like debauchery in a particular way. And then again, at least have a new release of the Project Arms. This is gonna be another standard definition to Blu-ray release. So yes, woo, that is a lot.
I'm trying to remember which one, since again I was not there, but either one of the Discotheque releases or Anime Ego releases, and I think it was Discotheque, looking at the Anime Ego stuff, they were going to release something in, like, at maybe, like, uncut versus cut or something, and, like, someone in the audience was like, oh, you should label the DVDs, like, left boob and right boob, or something like that. So, I'm going to have to find this tweet again. I know I've seen, I say tweet, I mean post on Blue Sky, but if not, I think I know folks who know folks who made that.
No, hell, you need to announce, you need to share what Anime Ego ended up announcing at their Otakon panel.
Yeah, so, like I said, Anime Ego's panel was right before Discotheque, and so they announced that they are going to be bringing over TCG Animation / Akens, I'm guessing it's our studio, Sasuke 1968 television anime, based off of Sanpei Shirataro's manga. That's going to be coming out on October 14th. They announced that they're putting out the rest of Looking for the Full Moon, Full Moon Sagashite, which we already knew, because this is the one where they found the lost dub for it. You know, the episodes that we all thought had never actually been dubbed. So that's a true lost dub right there. They are also going to be doing a Blu-ray release of the 10-episode OVA for Osamu Tezuka's Blackjack, and also the 2011 2-episode OVA Blackjack Final. I don't know when the when this first one came out. Hang on, let me take a look.
I would guess a while ago, but
1993. Yeah, I'm a little puzzled why they're bundling together both the 1993 and the 2011, but I'm assuming some folks who know Blackjack are nodding along going, oh yeah, no, this makes sense. They are also releasing Hotori, Simply Wishing for Hope, anime for the first time on home video in North America. This anime originally aired in August 2005, so that was before even I was watching anime on the regular. And they are also offering a HD release of the OVAs for Alien 9. It's based off a manga by Hitoshi Tomizawa. It's going to feature an English dub. I'm fairly positive this one has been released in English before, since I've seen people talking about it before. I am told that this one is in the realm of looks cute, but is secretly, like, kind of terrifying.
Terrifying.
And then... oh, and I did go to the Azuki panel, which was right after the Discotheque panel. So Azuki, is now partnering with Manga Mavericks to bring over a couple of their titles. So, adding to their service, they are going to be streaming, as one such does for reading, Manga Mavericks releases of Alternative, Self-Linear Note, Bonds, and Zigoku's Foreman, and they are also adding Treme from Starfruit Books to their, again, streaming, quote-unquote, service. Someone in the audience did ask them about some J-Novel Club titles that originally were on there for streaming but were taken off and were purchase only, and Evan Minto said he couldn't give really any details, but somebody messed up the contract and it was not Azuki's side. So don't know if it was the Japanese publisher's side or the J-Novel Club's side, but there was a contract problem and that was not Azuki's fault.
I guess you have to figure out, like, okay, what J-Novel Club titles are can be read chapter-wise. So I'm getting, like, one series on Azuki that's from J-Novel Club.
Yeah, we could go in and, like, look at all the ones who were removed and see if they share a publisher in common, but I have some theories, but I have theories for off the record.
Yay, off the record. Whee! And then continuing on from Manga Mavericks, who are also, again, they were Otakon too, they announced...
They had their own separate panel as well,
They got to release Chilola's Fist God and Takafumi Adachi's Ballad Hero Fantasy Dance Adventure featuring Steven McRae. So again, their catalog is continuing to build. I think these are going to be released digitally on their platform, or maybe certain platforms where it's going on print next year.
Okay, back to me then, I guess. Let's see. We've been jumping around. Sublime Manga announced on 8/1. Happy Yaoi Day, that they will be bringing over Satomichi's Bride of the Shark Clan and Angel's Forest of the Rabbits. And Last Gasp, which is a publisher I've not heard of before, I think, announced that they have licensed Suihiro Maru's manga adaptation of Edogawa Ranpo's short story, The Caterpillar, and will publish it in hardcover and paperback in 2026.
Hardcover and paperback, I think it looks, I feel like it's been growing over the last year or so with these publishers. You have Graphics doing something like that with a couple of Azuki titles. What's the new publisher that's publishing Wanna Be a Girl? Was that Random House Graphic? Random House Graphic, I think.
Give me one second.
You don't want to get messed with Scholastic. Graphic, and now I'm thinking of Random House.
Random House.
Inkpop, I think it was called. Inkpop, I think.
It's Random House.
Right, it's Random House. I think they have it under Inkpop label, something like that.
I'm just going by what the ANN Encyclopedia says.
Right, understood, that's fine. But yeah, that's been a trend I've noticed recently. Like, oh yeah, I got more paperback, but especially for not traditional manga publishers. That's a very interesting thing, I guess, to differentiate themselves from other the more familiar publishers we have. And then a final bit of licensing news: Glacier Bay Books. They lost a Kickstarter campaign for a couple of titles they've already announced. So Yumi Tada's True Blue Never Fades, Ko no Mi Omi's Universe from the Balcony, Toku Shige Kawakatsu's The Cursed Body, and Akino Kondo's Boxcar to Beetle. The campaign is going to also include the new manga title Baku-chan by Jushiji Matsumura. The titles are scheduled for release this fall, and as of this morning, so like August 11-13 today, they're made there at 40,270 out of 60,000. With 25 days to go, so it's looking, I guess, pretty sharp, pretty good right now. I still got plenty of time. I think they got a pretty good amount right now, so I think it's looking pretty good. So yeah, looking forward to his success. Looking forward to it.
All right. We've got some streaming news as well. Justin has labeled this one as Hulover. Since we know that Disney has been integrating Hulu more and more into their service. According to reports by Variety, Disney Plus is planning to fully integrate the Hulu streaming service into a new singular app That will contain both Disney Plus and Hulu, and this is planned to be launched in 2026. Apparently the subscription service will remain standalone, but they'll both be accessible from the unified app. This feels like a weird way to make a money grab, but okay.
Yeah, right?
A little weird. There's more and more things that are on both of them right now. I think I've got a Hulu subscription. I think I got one during like Black Friday last year and I just don't use it. It's so funny. I'd forgotten I had a Peacock one that I got last year for the Olympics. And after I like canceled it, then I started getting emails from Peacock like every 3 days being like, new stuff to watch, until I was like, get out of here. Get the fuck out of my inbox. You didn't send me emails for months when I actually had your service, and now you're back here?
Hit that unsubscribe.
Shame.
Hit that unsubscribe button. Hit it.
Oh, I did. I did.
More One Piece films are going to be added on Crunchyroll. So yeah, One Piece film, The Desert Princess and the Pirates, Adventures in Alabasta, One Piece film, Strong World, and One Piece film, Z. So again, for the One Piece fans, if you want to watch it more conveniently, Crunchyroll has it for you soon enough, Helen. It'll be more convenient to watch new official episodes of Detective Conan. So I think last episode was about the Conan Cinema Saturday schedule. Now we got the official creative selections. So what's next? And again, they're going to continue with the Conan versus Black Organization episodes. Again, not really sure which ones they're going to pick. But we'll find out this week. It's going to all come up on August 21st on Netflix and Crunchyroll. We seriously see if it'll all drop on Crunchyroll, because the last time they all didn't drop. It was just like the first, I think, two episodes that dropped, and then for some reason the rest did not drop until either a week later. That was bizarre. Either Netflix has like a thing or deal with them or something. I don't know. But yeah, they dropped, what was it, nine? I think it was 9 total episodes, and then like some were like really like 2-hour specials. Like there was like this one, the really long one. So who knows what they'll drop for this one. But I will look forward to all the same in both sub and dub. Just getting more Conan officially is great. It's just figuring out which ones. But then now it's going to be like, what's going to be next after this? So I already said like a few episodes ago when they did it, like I guess next will be either Kaito Kid or any episodes about Heiji Hattori. But funny enough, I've been reading the manga. Yes, the manga on Viz manga, where I had to deal with Jimmy. And who is Haley Hartwell? Who is that? Who are you? I had to deal with all the old funny.
Isn't she a Marvel actress?
Had to deal
with... No, I'm thinking Haley Atwell, I think.
Yes, you are indeed. But yeah, going back to the how Viz decided to copy out the Funimation version, and we still have to pay for their sins eons later. But yes, waiting now, I'm like, oh yeah, they got some like memorable or like some legendary ones that I think people really enjoyed or was really popular in Japan, so they're gonna probably adapt those at some point. But it's just still determining like what's gonna be the main ones they wanna focus on. So again, my first two, Heiji Hattori and anybody episodes one Kaito Kid, I think those are gonna be next. So that's my theory, and then we'll see if they go to the whole, they announced things in June. Now I launched in August, so I guess what next will be either late September or October, so we have to be on the lookout for that.
Rimao has licensed Fermat's Kitchen, which is one of the summer anime which hadn't been picked up by anybody else. Right now it's only available in US Canada. I will say that their YouTube account is a little stranger, like they're now saying, okay, yeah, no, for real, we're gonna be putting up those, there's no freaking way I'll be your lover, unless episodes for 1 week only. But I've definitely been watching stuff on there that's more than a week old at this point. Otakon threw off my watching schedule. So I don't know what's going on there. And they decided that instead of uploading episodes individually of Kochikama every week, they're just uploading them in like one like giant, like almost 4-hour long video. The good news is I don't think they're taking those down after a week, so you have a little bit more time to watch them, but,
it's not like the, yeah, like the simulcast. The simulcast, are having these weird restrictions. Either that's company, like either enforced by the company, like the Japanese company, or they just have their weird, own weird internal policy. Who knows? But yeah, the catalog stuff, I think that's gonna be safely up there.
Yeah, like they've got Togen Anki up there, but only for a week each. Which is, excuse me. Which is also weird because that was one of the shows I was being kind of promoted at Otakon, but they were also doing that in a weird way.
Well,
like, they had voice actor Hiroshi Kamina come for his first overseas appearance, but only had a single signing and had to sign the provided Togen Anki postcard.
Well, I mean, okay, that's definitely weird. But we're not going to use so much with that because that's streaming literally everywhere, so you don't have to watch it on YouTube. So I'm sure that maybe plays a part, but
But if you can watch it anywhere, why would you only have it up for a week on YouTube then instead of longer? Like, I have so many questions about Japanese companies. So many. And this was already semi-announced, but G-Kids is doing some screenings of... Oh, no, okay, hang on, I misread this. Okay, so we already knew that G-Kids was going to bring over Angel's Egg, and they've announced they're doing a 4K remaster of it, which I think was already announced. It is a long ways away from that time Tokyopop illegally uploaded it to YouTube. They're going to be screening it in North American theaters on November 19th, with an early premiere at Austin's Texas Fantastic Fest, which will be September 18th through 25th, and also at the 63rd New York Film Festival, which is September 26th to October 13th. You can't call it a premiere if it's not the first place it's shown. I have some words for people who write press releases. But if you want to watch it even faster than either of those, again, it kind of invalidating the word premiere, it will be streaming on HBO Max starting September 1st. Alongside Shin Godzilla and Your Name. So if you want, like, a really weird triple header day, I guess you could watch all of those in one day. If anyone does, please tell us the order you chose to watch the films, and I feel like that might have a vast impact on your viewing experience.
Nintama Rento, Invincible Master of the Doku Take Ninja film, is now on Amazon Prime Video. So again, Amazon Prime, pick it up. More stuff, although this was of the more, I'm sorry to be rude, because this is obviously, I think, a more popular thing in Japan, obscure type of title, I guess, overseas. And Unicorn Black, Cloud and White Feathers, the pilot anime, is now streaming on YouTube. This is from Tezuka Productions. Now people can actually see how the pilot version of it, and I think that's kind of neat. I just hope it's all translated properly and everything.
Oh, hey, I just got a severe thunderstorm warning.
No,
our weathers are syncing up.
No, Helen, it's already raining and thunderstorm right now, and truth be told, at one point I had to get up and just start closing the windows in the apartment. I'm not saying when I did it, but I did it, okay?
I did think I heard rain in the background of your audio at one point, so... All right, then, but I think that wraps up all of the regular news, so it's time for the weird news.
Weird news time!
We can make that the little, like, jingle for it now. but anyway, so we already covered that Demon Slayer is casting Channing Tatum in the English dub, which is weird enough. But not the weirdest thing that Crunchyroll has announced. They are now partnering with Delta to offer anime its in-flight entertainment. Crunchyroll announced that it will offer specially curated anime on Delta flights later this year as in-flight entertainment on setback screens. The company didn't specify what series will be available, but it teased 2,000 titles and 50,000 episodes. That's a lot. Of course, this means that everybody has been joking about what is the worst anime you could be watching on a Delta flight, you know, with your neighbors behind you peering over your shoulder. Please Put Them On, Takamina-san is definitely one of the ones up there. So we will just see what questionable choices people are able to make later this year.
There is no chance Crunchyroll is going to offer that on in-flight. They're not doing it. They are not doing it. Helen, do you know how much...
Listen, if they just give kind of like a blanket list of things, maybe some things have snuck on there.
If a child even thinks about finding Crunchyroll and then accidentally getting to that, it is over. It is kaput. They will not have it.
They are just following the proud tradition of all of us watching some anime before we were emotionally ready for it. It's a rite of passage, Justin.
They're gonna randomly put Rose and Harem. They're gonna make that officially available as an in-flight entertainment, and we will all take a loss because of this. We will all lose when they do that.
I mean, I definitely remember trying to watch Spice and Wolf when I lived at home on the family's shared computer. And you remember how much nudity's in the first episode of that?
Yeah, you think you're going, oh yeah, it's gonna be economics, all that. Like, oh, that wolf girl is naked. Oh.
I didn't know there were so many boobs involved in economics.
manga creator turned politician Ken Akamatsu confirmed on Tuesday he is not going to attend the second day of the Comic-Con 106. This was actually a thing this was a while ago, right? Or did it actually happen? I thought this actually happened already. Anyways, he has a big thing. He's parliamentary vice minister. There are rules, regulations, blah, blah, blah. But then, in the same breath, it was noted that fellow liberal Democratic Party legislator Taro Yamada will attend Comic-Con 106. And I'm just like, bruh, what's happening here? I guess the real question is, why did you make it news, bro? You could have just shut up about it. You're already in politics.
If he said he's...
Go ahead.
If he said that he's not attending the second day, does that mean he's still attending the first day?
That's what
I'm
saying. Like, wait, I'm confused, bruh. I'm confused. Did he sneakily, like, attend at all? Did he show up? Like, there's Crossway Street demonstrations at Comic-Con 6 that he's not going to attend, so did he show up? But I guess he's really into rights and everything, and stuff's going on in Japanese media that needs to be better and all that stuff, I guess. And it's like, yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. No more manga for me. I must take this politics seriously, so there you go. That's why I can't show up at Comic-Con.
Also, as a reminder to folks, in Japan, the Liberal Party is, in fact, the one that we would consider more conservative. Because some countries are just kind of like that, mixing up their terms, and it makes me annoyed. Well, I guess it's fit since it's under weird news. Manga creative team Clamp has confirmed it is having its first ever tie-in with a luxury chocolate brand. It is doing a tie-in with Godiva. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised they haven't done this before, considering, like, Cardcaptor Sakura always has, you know, episodes and chapters about Valentine's Day and White Day. So I would have expected them to do a tie-in with a chocolate company before. Although maybe this is simply the first time they're doing one of Godiva specifically.
Yeah, in Japan, right? I believe so. So yeah, gonna be eating chocolate of particular clan characters. Very, it's gonna be tasty. I assume very tasty in Japan. So that last enough thing get popular. Yep, it get turned into chocolate for your clamp. If you last long enough and be strange enough, you'll release all of your entire series on one Blu-ray disc with underpants shaped cap covers. TQ? What? okay, so yes, all 108 episodes of the TQ anime series and 14 under episodes. I think it's like a minute or too long. It may have been shorter than that. I don't remember. It's been so long. But yes, it's all now combined into one. And in Japan, if you buy it, the cover will have the characters wearing underpants. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm looking forward to going to the store and buying that very proudly. Get this nice thumbs up and a smile as I buy it and show it to register it and put the thumbs up and everything and be hunky-dory.
I mean, I think in Japan, they tend to be very discreet when people are buying questionable things. They just, like, give you, like, a nice little discreet bag for it, and
it's
home.
It's only funnier, because...
Knowing that they saw.
TQ is not even, like that, from what I remember. It's like, what's the story behind this? What did I miss over the last decade or whatever? When was the last time I seen this show? It's been so long.
And then, Justin had to come up with a new acronym for this, but folks probably remember that last time we were talking about the whole Tai Chi Chasers got put up on Tubi with a new dub. Hang on, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on? With the guy creating like an AI dub of it, harassing people who were talking about it on Blue Sky, continuing to reply to people on the ANN forums, saying that he met the voice actresses from the show once and showed it to them, and they told him he should go to school to, like, learn about computers and art, and he did not understand who he was being talked down to. We have reached maybe a conclusion, maybe merely only the next step in this journey, but, Toei, for some reason, did not take this down, despite being one of the most litigious companies out there. But his mom is making him take it down.
Helen, this is, without question, the greatest weird news of all time. I have come.
Yeah, the only thing is that I can't find, like, an actual specific article about his mom
Take it down. Here's the thing. It was in a, like, in that, like, one of the threads, in that particular, like, tweet thread, there was a screenshot that had him, he had it on Blue Sky, where he had mentioned that his mom had, like, told him to take it down. It was hilarious. But I am telling you right now, I'm putting it as alleged that his mom told him to take it down, because that Blue Sky post is not deleted. It's not there anymore. I'm not even sure he nuked his account. I have no clue anymore. Like, he might not actually be around anymore. So it's alleged, but the fact is, I'm thinking that we're already at the conclusion here. At some point, Toei's gonna step in and end it all. And no, it was his mom who potentially.
That's what they usually do.
Like, no, his mom ended it all. I was crying when I saw that. Like, it could not, literally, it couldn't get any weirder. But no, it got weirder in a jiffy.
2025 said, "Hang on, hold my beer."
Hold my Tai Chi Chasers. Like, remember, this just started. This just started as a news article where they just put Tubi TV as Tai Chi Chasers. Ordinary news. Just ordinary streaming news.
I mean, normally, when someone's drinking a chaser, that's, you know, a palate cleanser after alcohol, but I feel like in this case, the Tai Chi Chaser would be the alcohol.
I think that's an episode, LA. That is indeed an episode.
Yeah, we're definitely not topping that, so.
Alright, you can find the Oishi Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, any ads in our show you have, or you can just have an email for you to leave a rating and review. You can check out the Oishi.com reviews and features. Definitely look forward to some convention, Anime New York City articles in the next week or two. And obviously follow the Twitter, and I say Twitter, but in general, also the social media accounts, so even Mastodon, Blue Sky. I'm going to try to remember to use my one buffer account to tweet all the news that I find or that I'm able to see and share while I'm at the convention. So you definitely want to check those out. And you can find me on Twitter at @Kamizu_Nomi. Again, more Three Houses Art. And then me randomly ranting about Fire Emblem Heroes again. Not gonna get into the whole saga, but I've just been playing Ether Raising for the past year or whatever. I'm just like, why are people doing this? Why are people putting this character where it's not even their season? Just random things that I'm just commenting on. Then maybe some other random anime I'm watching or whatever, maybe, but not mostly just Fire Emblem stuff. That's really it.
Let's see. You can find me on Blue Sky at Wander Dreamer, and you can find the other podcast I co-host wherever you listen to podcasts, at Manga in Your Ears. On Blue Sky, we are located under Taiku Podcast, that is TAIIKU Podcast, and that's also the name of the website where we host most of our stuff. Let's see, the latest episode we did Catch These Hands, which I've got a review on from the site back from 2022, so I definitely opened that back up to double check a couple of things about the characters. And we also talked about This Monster Wants to Eat Me, since not only does that one have an anime coming out in the fall, but that was also one of the mangaka who was at Otakon, so I caught one of their panels. I caught their live drawing and had a couple tidbits from that to mention to folks on the podcast, including that this mangaka is just, like, super fast at drawing. She draws without assistance. She does it all on her own. Amazing.
That's pretty neat.
Until next time, then, folks. See ya!
Bye!